You got your Bibles? You guys ready? You got your Bibles? Are you ready? Okay. Do you believe? I'm asking, how many of you are so smart in the things of God that you don't need another sermon? Raise your hand if that's you. Okay, praise God. I see no hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, I believe that God has a word for us today. And I believe that we need to be intentional. Somebody say intentional. Intentional. And what does that mean? Can I teach you before I teach you? Come on. Oh, somebody over here. Can I teach you before I teach you? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that Satan comes immediately to steal the word that is sown. So what he would prefer is that you are paying attention to something that isn't going to, change your life forever. You know what? Whether you have, a carne asada. I wonder if we, I need cheese. I don't think we don't have cheese. Where's the grater? Last time I looked for the grater, we lost it. I hope we're going to find it. Or maybe I should just buy the cheese that's already grated. How many know right in the middle of a sermon, you can just go into detail stuff that's ain't going to, listen, you're going to go home, you're going to find the grater, you're going to have some cheese, or you're going to have the carne asada burritos without the cheese. Big deal. Do you understand? It's not going to rock your boat. But Satan, why? Because he is fighting a battle. And you are the saints. And you freak him out. And you connected with the word of God is a incredible force to him that he would rather you just be ignorant to the word of God. Over and over and over again, Paul writes and he says, I would that you not be ignorant. Well, the Bible says it's the word that you know that is going to set you free. That's why this is such an important, critical time. And it's not the time to be thinking about, lunch. It's not the time to be thinking about, a cheese or cheese graters or all the other nutty things that have no relevance. Do you understand? So I'm asking, lock in. Somebody say lock in. Look at your neighbor, say lock in. Lock in to what God has to speak to us today. I want to talk to you about how much God cares for you today. How much God cares for you today. You know, how many know we live in a crazy world? How many know we live in a crazy world? I cannot remember. I really can't remember the last time we had an election coming up and there was so much talk about preparing, the police force and even the military for what could possibly take place. Do you understand what I've been part of many, many, many elections, and there wasn't ever any talk about this. But how many have heard some talk about, the unrest that possibly is going to happen after the elections? How many have heard of this? How many of you, in my life, I've been watched on the news all kinds of unrest, but never to the extent in 2020. I mean, all kinds of places, including Los Angeles. You know what I mean? So it is just a interesting time that we live in. How many would shake your head in agreement? And then along with that, there's the COVID thing. You know what it's like? Oh, you know what I mean? You wake up, you wake up and you have a cough and all of a sudden you're like, ooh, I got COVID. Come on, somebody. Ooh, I probably got COVID. I'm asking, how many times in the last, five months have you thought you had COVID? You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I probably got COVID. You know what I mean? Oh my goodness, you didn't have a COVID. You know, a bug flew in your throat. You know, that's all that happened. Come on, somebody. Help me know what I'm talking about. It's, but you know what? That's just like, ooh, you know what I mean? All this fear and this, you know what? And this, but isn't that where we're living? You know, I went into Lowe's, you know what, about 3 months ago, and I'm standing there. You know, the six, you know, they got all the spots. You know what I mean? What are you kidding me? Where, you know what, we don't even know. We're going into stores and having to stand on dots now. Hello. You know, what is this? So I'm standing in line, and there was a guy, and he was, you know, a nice guy, just not paying attention. And he got too close to the guy next to him, you know what I mean, in front of him. He thought he was leaving, but he wasn't leaving, wasn't done with the transaction. So he started to come up, and then the lady was like, you know what, I mean, just big time Gestapo. Do you social distance? Come on, hello, somebody. Come on, can you go into Lowe's and live in peace? You know what I mean? And he was so funny because he wasn't even trying to. You know, he was no rebel. You know, this isn't a rebel thing. He's just, you know what? And he turns around to me and he says this. You know what? You give them a mask and they think they can just yell at you and tell you what to do. And it was so funny because I thought, that's exactly true. But how many been part of that? You know what I mean? I went into the store the other day and I had my mask on, but I didn't have it all the way over my nose. You know, it's like, ooh, you know what I mean? I like to mess with people sometimes. How many know I like to mess with people sometimes? And the reason I didn't say this is because Marilyn, it was when she was in the hospital, and I really wanted to see Marilyn. But oh man, I was so tempted to do this. So I was at the hospital. I had gone in the day before. I was trying to see her as much as I could. So I was up there every day if I could. And I was up there the day before and was able to spend like an hour and a half with her. And we just had a great time. And I was up there the next day. And for some reason, this day, you know, how many know some people? Well, like, anyway. So this day, I'm up there and and they won't let me in. I'm like, no, I'm her pastor. You know what? And I have clearance. You know what? And I can... You know what? And they're like, well, we have to check. I'm like, okay, check. So I sat down, and I'm waiting. Then this lady comes in. She's a supervisor. She comes down and sits down. Do you see where my mask is? Is my mask? Are you sitting on my mask? Okay, no, this is good. So anyway, I have my mask on, and you're supposed to, the blue part is supposed to be out. Well, I had the white part out. And I was just real kind to her because she was going to make the decision on whether I could see Marilyn, and I really wanted to see her. I needed to see her. So I was just listening to her, and I said, hey, we went over this yesterday. You know, I mean, I already have clearance. Talk to you, you know what, this person. And he said, yeah, you can. Anyway, so she was like, oh, let me check. And she went out of the room for another 15 minutes, comes out, sits down, says, okay, here's what we can do today. You know what, you can be there, but only for 15 minutes. And I was like, okay, well, I'll take it. You know what I mean? And then, but before she walks away, she's going to tell me, but your mask has to be properly on. You know what? You have to have the blue on the outside. And I was this close. How many know Dr. Fauci has changed his mind a couple of hundred times in the last? Come on, don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. And I'm not against Dr. Fauci. I thank God that they're trying, but at least admit that you don't always have it right, that we don't know what's, you know. And let me make this point, because I think this is important to get out there for you to understand and for me to understand. I like what our president says. He says, one person is too many. I love that. I think that's absolutely right. But as they talk about the spike, look at the numbers, because more people are catching it, but less people are dying. And the mortality is just, look at it. You know what? It's just gone flat, and thank God for it. Amen? This is important because there's so much misinformation. Okay, let me get back to my story. So she said, put it, you have to wear it properly, and the blue is on the outside. And I came this close to saying, actually, Dr. Fauci, did you not hear him this morning? Dr. Fauci said, now the white is supposed to be on the outside. Thank you. How many know we're living in times of angst and fear and anxiety and worry, and that can come in and it can grip the church. We've had several losses of people who've now on to be with the Lord. And yes, you know what, we understand to be absent, if you're a Christian, to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. Yes, we understand they're in a better place, but how many know it still hurts? It still hurts, and we've had several close people to us who are not with us now, and we know where they are, but we haven't lost them. Thank you, Jesus. We know where they are, but it still hurts. And so all this together, and it's, listen to me, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I know this is the message that God has for us. In the midst of all this that has gone take place, you know what? I mean, we get woken up, we have something that we have to take care of, it's in the middle of the night, we go take care of it, all's well that ends well, amen. We get back in the car, we're like, oh, you know, it's 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, depending where your watch is, you know what I mean? And we're coming back, and we're on the 10 freeway, and I see some lights up above, you know, a lot of lights, a lot of flashing, all this stuff. And it's like, man, I want to go home and still get, you know, I was supposed to get an extra hour, amen. So I'm thinking, you know, I want my extra hour, you know, I'm trying to get back to get some sleep. And so I see the lights, and we're right, we're on the 10 freeway, and Rosemead is right there. Well, I see the accident is well above Rosemead. And I think, you know what? I don't know what's going on there, but I could tell there was a cop car and nobody was going. It wasn't, oh, we're going slow. It's we're not going. He was stopping everybody from going. Well, of course, you know what? My rebel wife. So I say, you know what, I'm thinking, man, I'm just going to take Rosemead. Rosemead I'll take to the 60, and I'll get home that way. You know what I mean? But they are stopped. They're not going slow. They're stopped. Well, I said to my wife, you know what, do you think we should, you know what, maybe go over here to the side? Did I ask you, Tamara? Oh, yeah, Kim. And I'm thinking, yeah, see, I told you she was a rebel. Can't we just go? And so I thought, yeah, we can. And so I'm, come on over here, because it's just from here to that pillar back there. I just got 100 feet. I got to go, and I'm free. And so I come on over to the shoulder, and I start coming up. And then that cop car goes, stop where you're going. I'm like, what is your problem? And he came over, didn't he not? came over, bad attitude. You know what I mean? Who told you you could go? Nobody. He said, what are you doing? And I started to tell him what I was doing. You know, he said, stay there. All right. I'm just a pastor. I'm just a pastor. Okay. So anyway, we waited and waited and waited and waited. Finally, you know what? Praise God. I was all happy because there was somebody, wasn't me, but there was somebody who went to the shoulder and they went like that. I thought, oh, praise God. You know what I mean? And then the cop was like, where are you going? He couldn't even hear him. He was gone. You know what I mean? Anyway, so we waited and waited and waited and waited. Finally, we got home and, you know what, I lost my hour. But my point is, how many know, oh my goodness, how many know sometimes when it rains, it pours? Come on, who am I preaching to today? And in that process, in that reality, whatever it is to you, you know what? You start to question even, you know what? That, where's God? Does God care? Where is he if he cares? What's happening? What's going on? And in the midst of this 2020, in the midst of, and we could amplify these stories over and over and over again, your pastor has a word for you today. God absolutely cares for you. We can get so caught up in emotion and circumstance and stuff going on that we begin to even question. We can start to question, you know what? Sometimes troubles and issues in our life can drive you to the point, if we're not careful, that we begin to believe that God just doesn't care. And we won't say something like that because we're too Christian. We know that that won't come out of our mouth, but it is a predominant thought in our lives. And I want to remind you today and make it unequivocal that you would understand that God absolutely cares for you. Now, reasons why we sometimes think he doesn't care. Number one, just circumstances in our life. How many know the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous? You know what? And we forget the second part, but God will deliver us out of them all. Amen? We have to remember. But those afflictions, those hardships, those... How many know life sometimes is tough? And that hardship of stuff going on, how many ever been hurt, or somebody did something wrong to you, or somebody did something mean to you, or just life, you know, you just go out and you got a flat tire, amen? Hello, somebody. And you know, you get a flat tire, and then something else happens, you start to go, right? Reasons why we sometimes think God doesn't care. Sometimes he doesn't answer our prayers as soon as we want. Come on, am I preaching to somebody? Like, oh my goodness, God, I asked you 4 days ago, you know, and then he still hasn't changed. Right? Right? Have you ever been in, you know, you go to In-N-Out. Oh my goodness, In-N-Out. In and 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 then out. Right? That's what it should be called, you know, in and in and in and in. But you know, the truth is, you know what, are you kidding me? That's just, we have this mentality of, and it comes into our prayer life that we think, you know what, we're asking God, we've asked God, and he hasn't come through. It hasn't changed in the last 3 days or 4 days or even 4 weeks or even, oh my goodness, I've been waiting. You know, it's like, we're serious. I've been waiting 4 months. It's such a long time. Right? And so we start to question, you know what, and we start to think that God doesn't care for us. You know what? And you need to be careful in that. You know, Sarah got in all kinds of trouble as she started coming up with her own solution for your problems. I don't know who I'm speaking to. Be careful that you don't start coming up with your own solutions as you get impatient, thinking that God's delay is God's denial. Many times it's not. Sometimes we just get so fixed on our situations. Sometimes we see the righteous prosper. We see people that they're not even going to church. They're not even serving God. What? The unrighteous. Yeah, I'm sorry. The unrighteous. You know what? We're like, what? I don't get it. You know what I mean? Pastor, like, man, invite somebody every week. I'm inviting somebody every week. Then pastor says, you know what? We're called to serve, and I want you. Everyone, everybody, come me down. I come 2 hours. I'm doing all this stuff, and you know what? And then my neighbor, you know what? Who ain't doing jack dilly for God? You know, and sleeping in. You know, just all this stuff. That person, you know what, rolls up in a new car. You know, and it's like, man, and they're like, look, I got a promotion at work. And you're just thinking, what? Hello, somebody. And you start to question, you know what, what's going on? Where's God? He doesn't really care. I want to say this again. You know what, emphatically, absolutely God cares. The Bible says in 1 Peter that, cast your care upon him. Listen to this. Because he cares for you. God is not a man that he can lie, and he cares for you. And he does care for you. Somebody says, well, you know what? It's reality is. God, here, be careful. Whoa. I got to do a disclaimer. Don't say amen to this. Don't say amen to this. Look at your neighbor and say, don't say amen to this. And this one, if I didn't say it, I guarantee you I'd probably get 100 amens on this one. So just really button it right now, because you're going to go, But I'm going to show you in the Word, okay? Somebody says, well, did I tell you don't say amen to this? Somebody says, well, you know what? God never gives you more than you could. Don't say amen to this. God doesn't give you more than you can handle. Oh, amen. That's absolutely true. That's not true. And it's not in the Bible. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches just the opposite. Can I show you what the Bible says? Sometimes how many know we have to rightfully divide the word of truth, because we start getting in a misunderstanding and it starts to throw us off. Hello? How many know there's something that when you get off course... There was something that happened recently in the space department, and they were just off course, just 2 degrees. Well, they were off 2 degrees from the start. How many know in a short period of time, that 2 degrees, they were way off? Hello. So, 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is what most people are referring to, and look what it says. No temptation. Somebody say temptation. Somebody say temptation. Come on, say it 5 times with me. Go. Okay. No temptation has overtaken you except which is common to man. What does that mean? It means you can't say, you know what, this is so difficult. You know what I mean? Nobody can understand what I'm going through. That is absolute. No one can understand how tempted I am. That's absolutely ridiculous. Why? Because that temptation is all kinds of men have experienced that. Except is common to man, but God is faithful. Somebody say, God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be what? Who will not allow you to be what? Come on, stick with me here. I got it up on the screen. Will not allow you to be what? Tempted beyond what you are able, but with that what? Okay, this is deep. What do you think this passage is talking about? Here, I'll give you a hint. It starts with a T. It's talking about temptation. God will not allow you to be tempted. But with that temptation, what's he going to do? But with that temptation, will also make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Well, God won't give me more than I can bear. Not true. God won't tempt you. God won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. But with that temptation, there is a way of escape.
See, somebody says, oh, you know, you just got to sin every day. Everybody sins.
Oh, well, apparently Paul didn't understand that. Because Paul says, with every temptation, there is a way of escape. See, let me tell you what. The Bible will teach you good theology. See, this sin mentality that we have been handed to, much of it by the pastors in the pulpits, is unbiblical. We have been set free. The Bible says that he who is free is free indeed. The Bible says, you know what? It doesn't say when we sin. The Bible says if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I'm not saying that I have lived a sinless life for this year. I'm saying what the Bible is saying, that with that temptation, God will allow, he won't let you to be tempted beyond. You can't go, oh man, I just couldn't handle it. Liar, liar, pants on fire. It's just not true. With that temptation, God will make a way of escape. Now, you have to take the way. Amen. You have to be looking for the way. But the way is there. Yeah. Is somebody learning something today? Oh, God will never give you more than you can handle. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. That's what the Bible says. Can somebody say amen to this?
Amen.
See, some of you, you have heard that stuff so long that you don't even know what to do with this. I'm just pointing out all this text is saying is it's talking about tempted. It says it three times there. And it's very clear. Turn to 2 Corinthians. I have it here on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. For we do not want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant towards what I'm talking about today. Brethren, for our trouble which came to us in Asia. Say trouble. That we were burdened beyond measure. What were they burdened? Somebody say beyond measure. Above strength. Somebody say above strength. Is this clear? I love the Bible because it oftentimes does this. It says it, and then it says it another way, the same thing in a different words, making it very clear that you can't say, well, they could handle it. No, they couldn't. The burden was beyond our measure to fix it. It was above our strength to handle it, so that we were despaired even of life. We thought we were going to die. That's how bad it was. Are you learning something? This is the Apostle Paul writing this, guys. Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves. I mean, no, this is beyond our strength. Are you learning something? Watch this, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust, and he still will deliver us. He's saying, listen, we couldn't do it by ourselves. It was above what we could handle. It was beyond our measure to handle it. It was above our strength. But we put our trust in God, and God is the one who delivers us. God will put more than you can handle on your life. He's not a respecter of persons. He did it to Paul. He's going to do it to you. But Paul says one point, he said, follow me as I'm a follower of Christ. See, and there's so many Christians, I don't know who I'm preaching to. Who's hearing what I'm saying? There's so many Christians who allow circumstances, troubles, hardships, things that they can't handle, and they give up and they throw their hands up in the air and they say, yeah, God don't care. That's not true. God cares for you. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And when you start to believe that, you are in trouble. Paul says, let me tell you what. This was beyond our strength. This was beyond our strength, which is a good thing. Somebody say it's a good thing. Because here's what happened. As it's beyond our strength, we're now recognizing, oh my goodness. Paul in another place says, I glory in my infirmities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. See, we need to get disconnected with our ability to be able to handle it. We need to stop saying, oh, God will never give you more than you can handle, because that's not biblical. It's not true. It happens in the Bible in many places. And these people, how in the world do you think Gideon functioned? How in the world do you think David functioned? How in the world do you think these people walked in the victory beyond what they could ever by themselves do? Here's why. Because they started to rest and rely and count on God to deliver them. Pastor, it's so hard. So much more than I can handle. Well, throw your hands up in the air like you don't care. Amen? And start to cast your care upon God, for He cares for you. How many hear what I'm saying? Quickly, reasons why I know God cares for you. Number one, because He hears us before we speak. Somebody say, He hears us before we speak. Isaiah 65:24 says this, it's all come to pass that before they call, I will hear, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. Let me tell you what. God is so into you. God loves you so much. He knows you so well. I'm at a restaurant. I'm outside. The waitress comes. She's taking our order. I'm saying, here's what I want. She says, would you like a salad with that? I say, yeah, I think I will like a salad with that. She says, what kind of dressing do you want? And my wife says, before I can say it, well, he'll take blue cheese. I said, what the heck? What? But I don't even say anything. I'm like, yeah, I'll take some blue cheese with that. And sometimes he'll even say, and you know what? He likes extra blue cheese with that. Why? Because before I speak, she knows what's going on in my life. You ever look at your husband or wife, maybe your child? Maybe there's a conversation and four or five people are talking. You know what? I'll look over at my wife and I'll think, I know what she's thinking. I'll think to my, watch, before she speaks, as soon as these people talk, stop. I think, I know what she's going to say. Hello. Why? Here's why. Because I am into my wife. And I know who she is. Can I tell you what? God, before you speak, He knows you so well. Before you speak, watch this. And He loves you so much, before you even ask, He's already working it out for you.